Hi, welcome to the Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne, one of the veterinarians here, and I host this podcast. This is our 22nd podcast. I have a couple of guests. These are two gentlemen that I work with, Barry Kirkhart and Justin Roloffs. One's a money guy and one is an operations guy who used to be a vet.
He's still doing it.
He's still a veterinarian. Okay. He's okay, sir.
So I'll turn it over to them. I'd like them to introduce themselves a little. And then the topic, though, when we get done, will be managing old assets. And in particular, I'm talking about buildings, pig buildings. So, guys, let's start with Barry here.
All right, Spencer. Yeah, Barry Kirkhart. I'm a veterinarian, as Spencer said. Went to the University of Minnesota and joined Pipestone in 1994. And grew up with Pipestone and loved the company. And now my most recent responsibility here the last 3-4 years has been to be the president of the Pipestone Management Group. So that's what I do. So really oversee the sow management, our grow finish management team, and construction. So,
Justin?
I'm Justin Roloffs. I'm the CFO of the system, so I work a lot with our shareholders managing the monies related to their sow farms. Really 15 years of experience and started in production, family operations, lent money to producers, broad spectrum industry for about 7 years. And then here the last 4+ years now I've been the CFO for the system.
All right. So as we get into the topic, I thought it would be probably good just to maybe compartmentalize it a little. And a lot of the audience will be guys with finishing barns, but those finishing guys also are owners in sow units, and of which we might manage that unit. So as the units get older, we have to think about them differently. And why don't you guys just talk about what's a new unit cost just in general? It'd be one question. And then, you know, if you were going to remodel a sow unit, what's the current value of what an older sow unit would be? And how do you have to think about tuning up an older sow unit just to kind of frame up some of the dollars?
Yeah, so I can frame up a little bit high-level cost of a new facility. You're talking between $2,500 and $2,800 a sow space to construct a new facility. All in land cost, engineering cost, everything that you can think of to build a new facility with all the attributes that producers are looking for today. And that's a big deal in terms of the attributes. So by attributes, we mean things like pen gestation, things like air filtration for the animal health, which is critical and important, and throughput long-term, and things like an older wean age, which add to that cost but bring tremendous value to the producers. So construction costs are high. And because of that, we've looked at unique structures in terms of separate real estate entities and livestock entities, in terms of sow farms with lease relationships, which allow for producers to get in economically, in terms of the capital it requires to get into that new farm. The beauty of it, even though that seems so expensive, is operationally those farms tend to have a much better cost of production because they have such a better throughput. They have those attributes that allow for $3 or $4 of better value in terms of a lean age, maybe $2 or $3 of value in terms of pen gestation, all those things.
Yeah.
And that said, if you got the right older asset in the right location, it can still be the right value to the right parties.
So you just mentioned location, and we were talking about this earlier. Barry, you've looked all across the Dakotas and everywhere else at possible sites for new units or existing units and where they are. Location for what, I guess, just to lay it out for the audience.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially for the sow farms. You want to have a location that you can preserve health because the success of our producers is really health dependent. When we find a location that can maintain high health pigs and supply pigs to pig dense areas, for example, northwest Iowa, south central Minnesota, southwest Minnesota, if those producers can start with a healthy pig, they can have remarkable production in pig dense areas that were once written off as, gosh, we can't raise pigs, and you see folks leaving those areas. And I watch our clients that get high health pigs to start being super successful. So one of the disciplines that I think Justin, I, a business development team, really try and execute is have the discipline, don't compromise values on where you place a farm. Okay. Super important. And of course, 20 years ago when we built our farms, we built farms and we thought were in good locations. And a couple of the challenges were they were good locations at the time, but the neighborhood became more pig dense because of the attraction, really, maybe of the sow farm or just feed or other things. So we learned have the discipline, put those sow farms where, yeah, you might not have the best feed cost or the best utility cost, But because of those things, you aren't going to have grill finish ponds come and surround you in 20 years. That's what we really try and target.
Yeah, so kind of pull together the last two comments. Older facilities worth less just because of wear and tear. They're smaller and location. If you have a used farm in south central Minnesota or northwestern Iowa or someplace, that's not the same as that same used farm that's out in the middle of South Dakota. Just it could be everything the same, but the location would count for how you would look at that unit. Am I going to fix it up, change it, grow it, whatever, versus convert it to a finishing floor would be an option. So
I think a great point, if you have a smaller unit on the fringe of the pig country or corn belt, you may look at that unit and say, you know what, it's a 1,500 sow farm. It's not competitive today, but we could add 4,000 sows to that site, utilize the existing facility by remodeling it and make it competitive. And you would consider doing that. Versus if you have that same farm in Northwest Iowa, to your point, Spencer, you're going to look at that facility and say, there's no way I'd reinvest into sows in this location. But don't just close the doors on it. I've seen some very nice retrofits of older sow farms that became very nice 2,000, 3,000 head finisher barns that are very competitive.
And when you think about the cost to do that in certain situations, it's all about the pre-existing design, but it may only cost you $100 to $150 a equivalent finishing space to convert that sow farm. And so when you think about new finishing barns costing $350 a space,
right,
that's not all that bad if you can convert it nicely for, say, $150 a space.
Yeah.
So that sow farm in a poor location.
Yeah, if you're outside going to buy something, you know that roughly the conversion cost might be $150. You'd have to tweak it, and then you'd have to be able to buy the existing sow farm for under $120, something less to make it worth doing.
Do
the basic unit.
Right. Yeah. And then the value there, too, you know, grow finish space, the value is really, it is location, and location close to feed source, close to where you utilize the nutrients in the land, close to probably your feed mill if you have one, or your family. And so that's why you look at that value is completely different. But to make that a finishing site, now it's actually attractive.
Yeah.
It's not attractive as a sow farm, but it makes very attractive as a finishing site. And that's what we're really encouraging our shareholders and producers and friends and family to look at those assets differently and really try and repurpose them and find their way to, you know, see that path and then move their pig source out of the pig belt area.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. Back to the sows and what a sow herd would look like if it was at the point of wanting to remodel. However old it was, things that are coming out of gestation as a general concept and a marketing opportunity for the last several years and now Prop 12, wean age. You mentioned a few of those attributes. I don't know what the costs are. If you guys had guesses on the cost of doing that, like existing crated barn, switching to Prop 12, what does that do to your, if you're going to remodel that, it's going to increase your pig cost. How are you going to factor in the cost of doing it versus the ongoing running costs or anything else? Can you just comment a little bit about, I got a sow unit, and I want to shift to this. That's going to change things. What does that look like?
Yeah, when you think about it, every scenario can be a little bit different depending on the age, depending on the design. Will in some cases, stall farms that need slat replacement, say they're 30 years old, at the same time that you go to, say, a normal open pen gestation of 18 square feet, you may not lose much capacity in the transition from stall to, say, a stanchion pen design. Really, you may not lose a lot of capacity. If you can do that, not lose a lot of capacity, the real cost increase may only be $2 a pig. When you think about the debt associated with retroing your facility, put it on like a 10 or 12 year AM, something like that. It's not a lot, but in the reality of those cases where those sow farms might be older, the iron's tired anyways, or the slats are tired, you are going to have to remodel it anyway. So the cost, in some cases, may not be that bad.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, and that's how we've looked at it. Again, location's the primary principle, right? But if you have an older facility, we've actually looked at some of these attribute changes as the opportunity to justify renovating it. For example, to Justin's point, if the current iron is tired, you know, after 20, 25 years, usually that's kind of the lifespan of this iron. Well, now if you get a pen opportunity, you can justify taking out the stalls, replacing them with pens, and it just gave you a chance to upgrade your facility and kind of have a good purpose. And the other one is Prop 12 is the same. I think it's kind of an opportunity for some folks to justify doing new things with their facilities that otherwise under, you know, commodity type pork production, it would be more difficult to justify. So we all have facilities that are older. Some of these 20, 25-year-old facilities should be repurposed. Most shouldn't be closed down completely, but repurposed. That means maybe sow farm, go to finishing barn. And then some of those that are in great locations, the pen housing or the Prop 12 really gives that producer an opportunity to upgrade and hopefully get paid for it. So,
okay. Shifting back to finishing, guys taking pictures of these sow units are going to have to put them in barns that are maybe old. You've seen a lot of barns go through brand new to worn out, and what's in between. What's the first thing to wear out? What do you typically have to remodel on the finishing side? As far as barns worn, first thing's got to be redone in a barn typically.
First thing going out needs to finish your barns, generally the gating. And I say that loosely because there's a lot of variation in gating quality. And there's some gating out there that I can go to barns. I know for a fact, 25-year-old gating, and it's very good condition yet. And that gating's going to go another 15 years to the lifespan of the building. There's other barns I've been in, and the gating in 10 years it's shot. So gating's number one. And then the number two thing that comes right behind it, guys, is if you've got a building and if you've got compromised feeding or feeders, I should say, feeders. And compromised, I mean just low quality. You can't survive in this business with a feeder that has a 10% disadvantage on feed performance versus the best feeders. And the between the best and the worst out there is more than 10%, guys. So, and Pipestone's done a great job here, really focusing on feeders and feed performance. Most recently, you know, we've got three trials here on wet dry feeders versus dry feeders, just trying to show the difference in them. And really, if you haven't looked at that data, look at it. And more importantly, if you've got feeders, those are comparing to high quality feeders. If you've got a low quality feeder, you gotta make a point to trade out the feeders. And that's one spot I always emphasize to people. Do not be cheap on your feeder. All the money runs through it. Have the best feeder in the industry. And there's data to support what's the best. There's data to support what's the worst.
Yeah. So the 10% swing on 60% of your cost, 6% total impact.
Today, the wean to market cost to feed a pig, and we, you know, our nutrition team shares this with us every week, $91. Mm-hmm. And so 10% is $9 a pig. 5% is $4.50. Most of the guys on the meter right now can't measure the 4% level, but we can, and we share that data with them. The 4% today is $360 a pig. You turn your barn twice a year, it's $720, and just think of the lifespan of the building. Feeder, feeder, feeder.
Okay, so I'm a guy with a finishing barn, and I'm going to change out my penning. You know, we went from small pens to really big pens to less big pens back to small pens. If you were remodeling a finishing barn, what would you put in right now? It's just a general comment.
If I were going to remodel a finishing barn today, just my bias, I would probably do 30 pig pens, and I'd have a wet dry feeder in them, and I'd keep it pretty simple. And I know I'm going to spend a little more on gating, but I think I get better control, better performance with that. Do I have a data set to support and prove that? No, because nobody's done those control studies that I'm aware of. But that's my gut check. But I've seen very successful producers with large pens, very successful producers with small pens. And so it's a little bit producer preference. And then I just go back to have the right feeder, the right pen design. And then I think large and small pens can work. But if you ask me, you know, Spencer, what I would do, I'd do 30 pig pens, wet dry feeder, keep it simple. And there might be somebody that's going to beat me, but I'm going to beat a lot of producers on production with that method.
Okay. What about the ability to have a sortable front end of a pen? How important is it to design your pen so you can sort off a market load?
Yeah, pre-sorting, I think it's important, especially with higher feed costs. You know, having those pigs pre-sorted, you can save maybe 60, 70 cents a pig on feed. And then plus have a little better yield and a little better survival rate and transport. And so if I was designing a building, I would ideally have that. Now, with my 30 pig pen design, very difficult. That's why people like to go with the bigger pen, because it's easier to have the pre-sort. So you pick up that pre-sort value, but I think you give up a little performance value. So then it comes down to producer preference, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments on autosort?
Well, I would say some producers have autosorts and get along real well with them. I would say some folks have autosorts and it's really hurt them. And so I think it's producer dependent. For some producers, they can make it work. And some producers, if you're not a tech guy and a maintenance guy, I would just say keep it simpler.
Okay. All right. One final. Water. If you're remodeling, what would you put in for water? If you didn't have a wet dry, or if you did and you want a supplemental water, nipples, cups,
anything? Yep.
I don't want to get too technical on what is
that? No.
It's a general concern.
Great question. One, wet dry, I would just go with a nipple and the feeder. And I know two companies, one company that makes wet dries, say they want a supplemental water piece in that pen. One company says no. I'm a simpler guy, so I wouldn't. So wet dry. But if I'm going to do a dry feeder, I probably go with cups just to preserve water in a feeder to finish barn. If I'm in a wean to finish barn, I want a nipple access with a cup once the pigs are going. But and the reason I say that is the cups for starting wean pigs, it seems like for whatever reason, those things are a little shiny and sometimes those pigs don't like to go in there. You know, 80% do or 90% do, but 5 or 7 or 10% don't. Seems like we have more piglets not starting on water with just a cup option. So I do cup and nipple. And then the one thing I'm not a fan of is the bladder water with a pan. I just see too many cesspools and too much contamination, you know, feces, urine, pigs stepping in it. I like clean water for my pigs, and so I'm really not a fan of that.
All right. Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah.
Justin and Barry. This is our 22nd episode. I invite the listeners to tune in next time. I've got Dr. Scott D on the agenda for discussing the disease risk in feed. He's a person that works here with Pipestone. He's our director of research, and he is probably the smartest guy on the planet regarding what can survive in feed as far as different viruses. That is it. I appreciate the listenership. Thank you, and join us next time. Swine Time Podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by Dr. Spencer Wayne with the Pipestone Veterinary Services, the podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.